Pleasant good afternoon to all of dear saints. I just want to give you an update on about Philip Charles, whom Brother Mark had prayed for on the first morning that we gathered here. Brother Philip Charles was scheduled to be at his conference, and he was to arrive on Thursday, God's willing, but on Wednesday he had a medical emergency. He was in the hospital for a while, but he's thankfully out. He did an ultrasound yesterday and some blood tests, but he's still confined to his bed, but he sent his greetings, and he appreciates the prayers of the saints. So we'll keep informed as to him, and please continue to pray for him, his wife, and his two sons, because it's indeed a time that he needs our support and our prayers as well. We want to continue. I want to share something from the Word of God, the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and then we go to Genesis chapter 17. We have heard some very good messages, sermons, messages that can inspire us and keep us moving. Well, I should say, ought to keep us moving. And I realize that many of us also still sometimes sit back a while, and sometimes we have issues that affect us, from moving forward. This evening, we want to look at a servant of God who had an issue, and we want to look at how God dealt with this man. I'll try to be brief because we know it's an open ministry, and therefore the others would like to come and share. Genesis chapter 15, from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body and shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and they counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. The question is, do we have issues with God? Primarily with God. This may seem rather strange, a question. But you know, when we continue to serve the Lord, there are times in our lives, as we would have mentioned, we have our ups, we have our downs, we have times of discouragement, or times of loneliness. There are different times that a servant of God goes through. But tonight we want to look at it and primarily address us here refers to both the brothers and the sisters as well. We know we have been spending a lot of time speaking to the brothers, but also their sisters amongst us and the younger ones as well. Abraham had an issue with God. I look at it from this angle. Now, God had blessed Abraham with many things. He was a blessed man. He was a righteous man. He was a faithful man of God. And sometimes we wonder, well, if I am faithful to God, that gives me the right to anything I so desire. But sometimes we look with expectation to receive what we have been praying for. And I'm going to use a local word that we used back in St. Louis, and we waited for donkey years, or for many years, and it never materialized, then we began to question God. And sometimes we say, I don't think I ought to be involved. Maybe a voice comes to us and say, I believe God is punishing you. Maybe it's your sin. Maybe there's something wrong with your walk. Because we have been praying for years and nothing seems to come true in terms of what we are praying for. God blessed Abraham. God made him rich in many ways. But here, God addressed him. He says, I do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. The question is, why did Jehovah God address Abraham in this way? God knew Abraham's heart. God knew that Abraham maybe had a fear in his heart. I want to suggest to us tonight that God knows every one of us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows our fear. He knows that which has troubled us for many, many years. Maybe there are saints amongst us who have been praying night after night, maybe having sleepless nights, and they have a fear. Will God come true for me? What will happen? But I want to encourage you tonight, do not be afraid. And then he says to him, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. You know what, Abraham, I will fight for you. I'm going to reward you. Now, if somebody who, as you know, owns everything in this world, and he has the ability or the means to give us that which we ask for, but we're asking him, Daddy, let's suppose it's a father and a son. Daddy, I want the shoes. Yes, son, I'll give it to you. But the son knows that Daddy can give to him that shoes. But every day he looks forward, Daddy is going to give me shoes or not? 5 days pass, no shoes. 5 months pass, no shoes. 1 year passes, no shoes. That boy is going to say, Daddy is fooling me. Daddy doesn't want to give me. And so he becomes in his a point in his life where he may have lost confidence in Daddy. I don't think Daddy loves me anymore. Because Daddy, he could give me the shoes. And I'm asking Daddy, I've been a good boy to Daddy. I've not disobeyed Daddy. I've done what Daddy has asked me to. But yet, Daddy is not giving it to me. Picture Abraham asking God for a child. And God could have given to Abraham that child of promise. But months roll on to years, and years keep on going up and up and up. Abraham prayed in his heart, God, give me a child. I wonder how Abraham must have felt to be praying this prayer, Lord, give me a child. And the Lord would have promised Abraham that he will bless him, bless his seed, make him a great nation. But God, where is the evidence? For me to be a great nation, I must have a son. And so, that must have burdened Abraham's heart. And maybe tonight, many of us come to this conference with burdens on our heart. Maybe we have come with the idea of not, I'm just going to listen. I don't want to get involved. Maybe we have not been involved in the work of the Lord because we have issues. Not just with our brethren, but with the Lord. And we have been focusing a lot on the Christ-centered servant. And sometimes in the fields, we recognize it's the Lord who calls the servant, who sends the servant, and who is responsible to provide for the servants. But there are times in our lives when God delays many things. It makes us sometimes discouraged. But God says to Abraham, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Well, we'll say, well, that sounds good. That sounds like a nice word to say. But here is Abraham's response. Look, you have given me no offspring. In other words, God, you said, I am your shield. You said you are my shield, an exceeding great reward. But where is the thing I've asked you for, the male child? Oh, sometimes it can get frustrated. Sometimes we can have an issue with God himself. And there are many servants throughout the ages had that. We emphasize a bit on Gideon. There are also others throughout the Bible who had issues with God. Yes, God, you call me. You're sending me forth. But this one thing that will make me happy, you have kept it back from me. Now, Abraham was wealthy, as we said. He was righteous. He pleased God in many ways. Mark, he was not perfect. But a child, a male child, was what would have made his life, as we say, complete. Because as we realize in those days, if he didn't have a male child, he was seen as something was wrong. And can you imagine that Abraham must have said, you know, I will tell people how my God is faithful. But Abraham, you're telling me, trust God, but you don't have a child? Now, face it, brothers and sisters, in reality, you get up and you say, trust God. But you have your own personal needs. And you say, God, I need it from you. And you believe God, you expect you every day you go and you expect him to receive. And it doesn't come. What are you supposed to do? And so he's saying, God, you gave me no offspring. No one that I could call my own. And then he was saying, this heir of the house, it's Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham had his issue with God. I just wonder tonight, what are our issues with God? I know most of us who are in the full-time service, we have different issues. Sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's family-oriented, and a whole line of issues. And we expect God to come through for us. But let us realize, God is never late. Amen. He has a purpose in everything. Think about Lazarus, who died. 4 days after he was buried, the Lord came. Martha said, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. In us, he said, Lord, why are you coming now? You could have come before now and saved my brother. Maybe we can say she too had an issue with God. But God had his purpose and his plan. And God delayed Isaac's coming into this world for his purpose and for his plan. And so to us, Brother Sam had asked for a word of encouragement to those who are discouraged. I want to encourage our hearts tonight that God has a purpose and a plan in every disappointment that we face. Every delaying of answers, God has a purpose. He has a plan. Then we notice God took him outside. It must have been a sweet moment for God to commune with Abraham and take him outside, took him outside. And he said, look towards heaven. Abraham looked. Can you count the stars in the sky? Impossible. So shall. Can you number them? No. So shall your seed be. But God, if that is true, look at my age. I'm old now. When am I going to have a child? To have the sand and the seashore, etc. And all that you promised me. Was God fooling Abraham? Was God trying to give sweet talk to Abraham? No. And sometimes God takes his own time in answering our prayers. And in between those moments of waiting is the voice of the enemy that brings to our mind many, many thoughts. And that's why sometimes we have saints who simply do nothing. I want to go to chapter 17, the book of Genesis. Verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, I want to stay there. God spoke to Abraham, and now God appeared to Abraham. Abraham was fearful. This personal prayer, this personal request was on his heart, and it may have brought a fear in his heart. Maybe there are times when you give up and say, I don't think it will ever happen. I don't think the assembly will ever revive. I don't think I will ever have things better. And we reach a point in our lives where we simply say, I have had enough. I don't think it will ever happen. So that fear grips us. But yeah, Abraham was 99 years old. And he was 40 years when he got married. Now, if my math saw me right, that's 59 years after that. Now, that's a long time to wait. 59 years? Now, here he was, after those many years. Now, when he was 75, God would have made him a promise of a seed. 24 years of sins past. Well, 76, no child. 76, and years roll on. No, boy, 20 years, that's too much. Now, on the 24th year, God appeared to him again, this time in person. God knew Abraham's heart. And God knows how to come to us and when to come to us. He knows the best method of communication. So he came to Abraham, 99 years. An old man, we'd say, by our standard. To him, he may have given up having a child. And maybe tonight I'm speaking to some of us who think that there's something in our lives that we have given up. It will never, ever happen to me again. Maybe in the field, you have been laboring and laboring, they say, I don't think it will ever happen. And we become discouraged. We sit, we don't want to go on anymore. Because we feel that even our God has failed us. Maybe we shed tears many nights. Maybe no one understands the pain, the emotional pain, and the anguish that we encounter on a daily basis. And reach a point in our lives, said, I have had enough. I think I have had enough. This is enough for me. But here, 99 years, God came. God appeared to him. And God talked with Abraham. And I believe that God speaks to us. As long as you're willing to listen to him, he speaks to us ever so often in our lives. Let me just say a word of encouragement here, maybe a personal, on a personal note. This topic that was selected is someone that we had readily approved of in St. Vincent. And prior to coming to this conference, all the scriptures that were read, the Lord and I were dealing with it on a personal level. Every scripture, every character that was looked at, God had already brought them before, because I was battling and still battling issues in my own mind. And God used these things. And here he's saying to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. Now, God is not, we are not perfect, but what he wants of us is to be blameless in a way that is beyond reproach and to walk before him. But sometimes discouragement can make us walk away from God. Issues can make us not walking before God. We can get so discouraged in our lives that we give up on many things. And we take an approach where we lower our standard because it doesn't matter anymore. But God encouraged Abraham to walk before me. And I want to encourage us all. We face challenges in the field. Maybe you're not in the field, maybe at your school, at your workplace. As a child of God, you would face challenges, temptation. But always walk before God. Always have a testimony that is beyond reproach. Always try to live the way God wants of us to live. But here God says to him, I will make my covenant between me and you. Now that must have been nice. What if the Prime Minister of Barbados comes and says, I'm going to make an agreement between me and you? That's between me and you only. Wouldn't we feel nice about that? But here it was an agreement between God and Abraham, both of them together, as man to man. God knew Abraham's struggle. He knew what he was thinking. And he knew how to come to him, how to reach out to him. Abraham needed that personal one-to-one agreement. Yes, he believed God, but still had his struggles. And sometimes in our lives, when even though we believe God, we have faith, we still have struggles in our lives. Things that we struggle with on a daily basis. And maybe tonight, there are many of us in this hall are struggling daily with issues in our lives, in the assembly, and on many aspects in our lives. Maybe we have prayed, oh God, help me. Maybe we have shed tears. Maybe we have reached out to God in prayer, in crying. Maybe even fasting. Yet nothing seems to go right. God says, I'm going to make an agreement with you, Abraham. And says, I will multiply you exceedingly. Again, here he encourages Abraham. Here he reminds Abraham that I will multiply and make exceedingly. Multiply exceedingly. But God, where is the evidence of what you are saying? And you know, here is a challenge for the servants of God. You present to a young person. A young person comes to you, have an issue. But you're telling them to trust God. But they see you in your own life struggling to keep that which you preach. Because you yourself have issues. You yourself are struggling with things in your life. You believe God. You may not say it out, but he can look at you. And so God does not fool anybody. God makes no mistake. But God has a purpose in everything. And then it told that Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. Beloved, we know the end of the story. A child was born. Abraham indeed became a father of many nations. God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. And tonight God wants to change us from who we are to somebody better. He was old in 99 years when God changed him from Abraham to Abraham. Tonight, it's not that we have gone past any age that God cannot change us. Maybe our situations in our assemblies are very poor, discouraging, but God can change things around. But he has to change me as an individual. And so it starts with me as an individual. God changed from Abraham to Abraham. God changed his name. God changed even his status. He was now, after that, he was a father of nations. God honored his promise to Abraham, but it took him many, many, many years. I wonder sometimes. I know we're living in an age of quick fix. You press a button, the TV comes on. You go to a fast food, in 5 minutes, you have lunch. And there's so many things that is quick fix that we lost the patience to wait on God. That when you expect, that when you pray tonight, we expect it, the answer tomorrow. And many of us have been exposed to gospels on television which gives the idea of a quick fix, that miracles occur instantaneously. And if it doesn't happen, it's your fault. It's a lack of faith. But sometimes these are the lie from the pit of hell. God wants us to wait on him. He did bless Abraham. He did make him great. And God honored his promise in his life. I want to encourage our hearts tonight that if you're struggling, if you have issues in your own lives, that you think God should have come to you for me earlier, it's not too late. God came to you for Abraham, but at the right time. We may like it to come now, but God may say, 10 years from now. But you may say, why 10 years from now? Who knows? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. He loves us much more than we even love ourselves. And he knows what is best for us when we think we know what's best for us. But God knows better than we know ourselves. And we may have issues tonight. Many of us sitting may be struggling. We have had saints here who are discouraged, who are depressed, who take a back seat, who say, I'm not doing anymore. I have had enough. Who have even challenged God. And before I close, let me just share with you a personal testimony that I had. I was blessed to attend what is considered the best secondary school in the country of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Though I came from a poor family, that was a school that was reserved for the rich and the famous. But God allowed me to attend that school. And every single day of my life, I would share a track. I would talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. My goal was to win somebody for Christ every single day of my life. I spent 7 years in secondary school life. And when I left school, it was my dream. I had goals. But there came a time that after I left school after 7 years, a teenager, exams, I never missed a meeting. Never missed any meetings of the virgin. Any activity of the virgin, never missed one. I preached my first sermon at the age of 9. Taught Sunday school from the ages of 11 and right up. And I told myself, I had a right. God had a right to give to me what I want. And sometimes we take this view, that God has a right to give to me what I so desire. And after I left school, I spent 18 months without a job. Now, it hurts me because I would sit on my porch and look at people who didn't care about if God exists or not. But they got jobs. And I said, God, this is unfair. These people don't study, they don't even serve you, they don't even care if you exist. But you've given them a job. And here I was, can't get a job. I wanted to be a medical doctor. That was torn off. Everything I went for, there was a no. So I said, you know, there came a point in my life where I told God to himself, God, you don't love me anymore. No. It might sound strange for a person who was brought up in the assembly to be saying that. But that's a human side of us. There comes a time in our life when the human side chips in, when you say, I have had enough. Because every day, those of you who would know the tearing of sin, many men know where I lived, on one end of the island. And every day I'll go to the capital with applications in my hand. Some would say, you are overqualified. Some would say, you are too short. And all excuses were given. And I was prepared to do any kind of job just to be employed. But the door closed. I wanted to be a doctor, the door closed. I wanted to advance myself, the door closed. And you reach a point in life where you say, I don't think God loves me anymore. And if there's any young person here tonight who feel this way, who think they will hear, I have been searching. I've been serving the Lord. But God hasn't come true for me yet. And I don't think he will. There is hope for you. There's hope for you. Because I've lived past those years. And God has not only been with me, he has carried me through. He has held my hand and he has walked with me. And I want to say to us tonight that he will hold your hand. He will walk with you. He came to Abraham and he talked with him. He wants to come to you in person. He wants to minister to you. He understands your need. But you notice, God didn't give to Abraham the answer he wanted. God didn't explain to him, but God reaffirmed his promise to Abraham. There were times we asked God for a question. We expect him to answer the way we ask him. But he has his ways of answering us. Tonight, I want to encourage your hearts. Don't give up. When we have issues that you're struggling with, we have an almighty God, a great, big, wonderful God. God who understands, a God who knows, and a God who cares. Is there anything too hard for God to do? I say no. Are we beyond, as we say, too old to receive from God that which we have been praying for? No. Is God too late to come to us? No. Has God forgotten us? I say no. God loves each one of us. And so if we have been sitting on the fence or in the pavilion, just marking time, just watching on, and say, boy, that's not for me. It's time to get on board. It's time to realize that God is working out everything beautiful for us. His delay is not his delay. And I remember that quite clearly. As I walked the street of Kingston, every day I would cry when I get back home. And I remember one day the Lord said to me, Kenard, my delay is not my denial. And I want to encourage your hearts tonight that God's delay is not his denial. He takes his time, but he has a better plan for us. We have issues, yes. We have issues with our own brethren, with others, but God is always faithful. Let's not lose confidence, let's not cast away our confidence. He is there. God came to you for Abraham, made him Abraham. God will come to you for us tonight, but he wants to do a work in our heart. We have to let him be God. Don't try to run our lives and say, God, it's like we're saying, I want this, God, give me it. But God may say, no, not this, something else. Let God be God. Beloved, it has been a pleasure to be in here at this conference in Barbados. And I'll say to all, I do solicit your prayers for me, because since last year it has been very, very, very difficult months. But the Lord has been wrestling with me the same issue, the same scriptures that we have had here at Bible Conference. And so I want to say to us tonight, God will come to you for us. Give him the chance to be God. Let him do what he plans to do. He is never late. We may want it sooner than God says, but he is a great and a faithful and a mighty God. Let's trust him tonight. Amen.
Go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. In verse 1, after these things, it's a word that confirms the changes of life. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, this confirms his communication for our lives. Fear not. His calm and his comfort for our lives. Fear not, Abraham. Very personal. I am thy shield. Christ-centered ministry. Of him, through him, to him. I am thy shield. It's a word of peace. No matter what the fears, the foes. And thy exceeding great reward is a word of promise. It's a word of hope. Christ-centered, I am thy exceeding great reward. There's nothing like having the presence and the comfort of the Lord Jesus for every step and stage of our lives. We are coming to the end of the conference. After these things, did we hear that wonderful voice? After these things, still as we look into the future, the word of the Lord ever before us, coming to an Abraham, an individual called of God, but reminded to place his focus upon God himself. I am the unchangeable I am, thy shield, no matter what we face. No harm. The foes may be many. Fear not. I am thy shield. But also we need to understand, I am thy, not reward, not great reward, but exceeding great reward. All the all-sufficiency of an all-sufficient God. What a word of hope. What a word of help for our hearts. to focus again on himself as we leave, as we contemplate moving on for him. And the last verse I want to just quote is Isaiah 41. So many scriptures focus again and again on himself. And as we had with the Gideons, as we had with the Elishas, as the Joshuas, as we go throughout scripture, the Josephs, the Lord was with him. May we leave with this tremendous thought, that Christ-centered ministry should always be the hallmark of our lives. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Again, the exercise is very personal. In the King James, we have these and thous, but the these and thous are singular as opposed to the plural in that day of the language, a distinction that is lost in our modern English. So don't be afraid of them. I'm not telling you to use the King James forevermore, but it is a very useful study tool. Verse 10, fear thou not is very singular, very personal, just you alone. God's word to us is a word of peace again. For I am with thee. That's his presence. It's nothing like the presence of the Lord. So long as I know he is with me in my service, in my sphere, in my exercise, so long as I know he is with me in that will, in that work, that's all I need. It's the word of comfort that came to the Apostle Paul, to every servant that we look at that made a mark for God. He was marked by the presence of God. And tonight, Christ-centered ministry, we need him. Without him, nothing. We are nothing, can do nothing. Fear thou not. The word of peace. For I am with thee. The word of his presence. Be not dismayed. As we had today in Brother Hans' exercise, the positiveness that should mark us. Be not dismayed. You know, oftentimes as we were in this project, as we looked at the deadline, we looked at the huge amount of work, we could often have become overwhelmed. We were sometimes daunted by the tasks, by the limitations of the finances at times, the limitations of the workers, the limitations of our wisdom, the limitations of so many things. But the word of the Lord kept us going. Be not dismayed. And each time he comes in, why? For I am thy God. What a God. What a person. I am thy God. Very personally, he is the one. But then he says, I will strengthen thee. This is a word of his power. Do we need strength? Do we need that power to go on? He says, I will strengthen thee. Now, the thing is, as we ponder these verses over again, from Genesis to Revelation, and God makes his promises, these promises we need to have in our hearts, that God will never disappoint us in relation to those promises. If he says, I will never leave thee, we must believe that. God cannot leave us. He cannot. He cannot forsake us. He cannot cease to help us. We can boldly say he is my helper. We need to be very positive and clear that God cannot change his mind, change his will, change his essence, and change his exercises. God must be faithful to himself and to his word. So as he says, I will strengthen thee, we can with boldness say he will do that. And if he says, yeah, I will help thee. Now, help is more than strength. Strength gives us power, but there's so many things we need more than power. We need wisdom. We need guidance. We need his will. We need so many things. So he says, beyond the power I give you everything else. Just like Psalm 23, the Lord, Christ-centered ministry. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. And that is all sufficiency in his all-embracive expressions. Beloved, let us be very clear. God will help us. What help you need, beloved? As we look at the journey ahead, the work ahead, as we soon will see the Lord Jesus face to face, as we will bow before him, casting those crowns at his feet, as we will adore him, as we will be embracing his, in his arms of love for that eternal delight to his heart, seeing the travail of his soul satisfied. Let us labor, toil on, faint not. The crown you seek is near. Beloved, he will help us. We look at the numbers, the feebleness, the way forward, the change that Brother Brian asked us for and led us into, all the exercises. As we look at it, beloved, let us leave with that positiveness in our hearts that we are going with his help, with his presence, with his power, with his providing, with everything, himself as person, but with a peace in our hearts that nothing can shake, because we're going to commit it to him, and the peace of God passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally he says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is the privilege of his perfection. In righteousness, this is his preservation in perfection. I will uphold thee. Beloved, you know the righteous fall 7 times, but they are raised up again. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's going to do it perfectly. He's going to do it without compromise of his moral standards, of his holiness. We can be sure God is going to help us. Let us leave with that confidence. Let us leave with that dependence. Let us leave with Christ as the all and in all. Of him, everything we look at and we do. Through him, we don't want any other exercises and energy or anything else. And to him, we want the glory to him only. Of him, nothing but that which comes from him. Through him, nothing that is done apart from him. To him, everything done for his glory and his honor. May these things, that's Christ-centeredness again. Of him, through him, to him. May God help us as we read from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 to see Christ-centeredness and may it color and characterize our every exercise for his honor and for his glory. Amen. God and Father, we thank thee so much for these moments together. Thank thee for the exercises, the scriptures. We bow in thy presence and thy all-sufficiency. We desire that all things be of thee and through thee and to thee. Thank thee for the exceeding great and precious promises. Help us to turn to these promises and to challenge our hearts concerning thy faithfulness and thine unchangeableness, that thou wilt come through for us again and again in perfection and in the goodness of thy grace and blessedness. A God of love who cannot change, a God of hope, a God of peace. We thank thee for these days together. As we go into the next session, grant the help that is needed for thy servants, the encouragement to go and to reach and to touch lives in every way, of thee, through thee, to thee. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.